We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 491. Brought to you tonight by DoorDash and BetOnline. And you know what? If you're listening to this episode, thank you. Because after the way that game ended, after the way the Yankee season ended, you might not want to have anything to do with Yankees baseball for a little while. And I don't blame you, because payback's a bitch. And Mike Brousseau versus Aroldis Chapman, that hurt. That stung.
I looked down, I was like, oh, I was not listening to the game, the commentators very much tonight. And I knew there was a long at bat. There was a history there, but when he hit the home run, it didn't click in my brain about that. And then I saw the celebration of just him. I'm like, oh shit, that was him. The basically where it started this season, at least. It was pretty wild, man. Two seasons in a row end on an Aroldis Chapman pitch.
First reliever in MLB history to have his team exit playoffs by allowing home runs.
Really? That's surprising.
I just saw that on Twitter. Mm.
Gotta believe everything. Yeah, everything on Twitter is accurate.
It's absolutely brutal way to end the season. I think it's fair to say the Rays are just better than you.
It's hard to say that today, man. Honestly, because of the way the Yankees won last night and the way that they were in this game today, It felt like they absolutely had a chance to win this game.
Of course they had a chance to win this game.
And that they were like, the fact that, like, I do think Cole pitched well. He had a really shaky-ass first inning, and it was like, here we go.
He drove his pitch count out and probably got him out of the game an inning early, and that might have cost the team, because instead of Cole being able to finish six innings. He could only get into the sixth inning. And then you're with Zach Britton in the sixth inning. And then you're with Aroldis Chapman in the seventh inning, and everything has moved up.
But even Chapman on that home run, like the other at bats, he looked fine. Didn't look like he was struggling it just didn't look like he was...
But he still was going to have to pitch another inning. And the more times he's throwing, the more times these guys are throwing. Think about the Yankees pitching staff. It's four pitchers. The Yankees pitching staff boils down to four pitchers. Cole, Chapman, Britton, and Chad Green. Everyone else is a question mark. Some are better question marks than others. Like, for example... Devi Garcia and Jordan Montgomery were better question marks than Jay Happ and Adam Ottavino, but they're still kind of question marks. The Tampa Rays have like nine legitimate pitchers that you can trust.
Right. I mean, that is, I know, and that's not normal. The thing is, today had nothing to do with our pitching staff. I know, but that's what bothers me about.
And they beat you 8-2 in the regular season.
Yes, you're talking to somebody who understands. The thing is today, losing today after winning yesterday, which they bested their pitching staff yesterday on a day that Yankees had, you know, all mediocre guys going, the better question marks as you called them, and today. Everybody pitched well. Chapman had a long ass at bat, a good at bat, and he got the best of him. Like it was, he didn't have bad stuff. Chapman didn't look bad. I thought he looked good. So, and there were a couple calls that were off the plate. I thought the umpire was. He had a bigger strike zone, but he was pretty consistent all night. He was giving that low strike.
The umpire was not a factor in tonight's game.
Yeah, I agree.
That's exactly how you want umpires to be.
I agree. And I don't even mind that the strike zone was a little bit bigger, but it's just the Yankees bats didn't execute. That's it. Like that's what pisses me off.
Is that the Yankees bats fault or is that the Tampa pitching credit?
Yeah, I mean, you could go both ways. You could also say that even with that pitching staff, when you have that many guys, like you could score more than one run. You know, more than one ball flying out. Yeah,
you should be able to.
Yes.
Yeah, you definitely.
I do place blame on the Yankees at bats. I mean. Some of those at-bats were just terrible. Stanton had two at-bats that stand out in my mind that were just... And it's hard to rip on him right now because he was so good.
Can't rip on Stanton because he was the only one hitting for four
straight
games. That's
fine. I don't care. I'm looking at today and what happened today in the Game 5 must-win game. I'm looking at that. And I'm going to evaluate exactly what happened there. That 3-0 count early in the game, like I don't understand that. I don't. It's a 3-0 count with a guy on 2 days rest. Like I know I was saying be aggressive yesterday, but on a 3-0 count... You're still not swinging at balls, but on a 3-0 count with a guy on 2 days rest who's obviously struggling to find the strike zone, work the count. Take a pitch.
Glaber too.
They did it. I know. And then the last at bat versus Stanton it was a bad at bat.
He had no chance with Castillo. Castillo's throwing him backdoor sliders.
Yeah.
Like no freaking chance.
Okay. He couldn't even see the pitch.
Again, we talked about, are the Yankees going to be aggressive versus Glass now because he's on 2 days rest and he's not... Kevin Cash talking about, we might have him for 100 pitches. That's just bullshit. That was just absolute hogwash. Like, he wasn't going to throw 100 pitches. People on Twitter are like, no, he could go 5 or 6 innings. You got to work his pitch count. No, you got to hit him now because he's coming out of the game any minute.
Right.
And I think it says a lot about Tyler Glass now and Blake Snell that they didn't even use Blake Snell in this game. They don't trust Blake Snell.
I don't know. I don't think it's they don't trust Blake Snell. I said I don't think they needed to use Blake Snell, and Cash knew that. Cash knew.
Oh, I mean that
the reason,
is
no. I'll tell you why. The reason why is because they had three right-handed dominant relievers ready to go, and Anderson gave them two and change. I'm gonna pull up the box score.
Yeah, no, but that's part of it. Is that the Yankees have all these right-handed hitters against Blake Snell, so he's not an ideal matchup for them.
No, I know, but that's why I don't think it's against Blake Snell. The matchups are not the best, and then he's also they have the ability to look forward a little bit if they needed to because they have the arms.
Well, that's quite a luxury in a Game 5 winner go home. Like let's look forward to game one of the ALCS.
I'm not saying they were looking forward to it because he was warming up, but they have the luxury of doing that because they have trusted guys, a shit ton of them, to get out there and execute. So,
Well, I think it says a lot that if we look at not just game five, but this series as a whole, and that the Yankees, it came down to a game two, the Yankees trying to trick the Rays to try and go up 2-0 because they know they can't beat them straight up. That's what game two trickery with Garcia and Happ told me, is that the Yankees don't think they can beat Tampa by playing straight up. So we need to trick them to try and beat them when Gerrit Cole's on the mound. And that's a problem. That tells me the Tampa Rays are better than the Yankees. That's why I say that.
Or that your manager just doesn't believe in himself, so he's got to be all weird.
That's not an Aaron Boone decision. I mean, Boone's not been good. I killed Boone multiple times in this postseason, and his contract is up. I think they will re-sign him. I think it should be a serious question for Brian Cashman, but the Garcia Happ fuckery was not Aaron Boone's decision. It was an organizational decision.
Yeah, I mean, there's people in those rooms making those decisions with him. I understand that. It's part of the problem, in my opinion. But if you don't have a manager that you can have sit in a room with their coaching staff and make a decision, then what are we doing? But it did boil down to that, and
it could have changed the entire tone of the series. That who knows?
You had all this confidence, like leaving this game with a positive note, walking into play Houston, and I didn't understand where your positivity was coming
from. What are you talking about?
Because
I didn't have a confidence for game five.
If they got past game five. Yeah. I feel like if they did, even if they won this game, they were going to be sitting ducks. They had no pitching. Like, what were they going to do pitching-wise?
That may be true, but I guess my confidence came from, because if the Yankees couldn't beat Houston this year, well, then that team, what are we doing with this team? If you can't beat a team...
There's no pitching staff. There's no pitching staff. Okay, the pitching staff was... They were fortunate to be in the position they were.
External circumstances of the Astros probably cheating you out in 2017 and possibly in 2019.
Yeah, I hear you.
And if you can't rise up to beat them after all of that, then you don't deserve...
If J-Hap can't rise up against the Astros...
No, the offense. And J-Hap, it wasn't going to be J-Hap. It was probably going to be Devi Garcia in game one. Whatever. They're not going to the ALCS because they're not good enough.
They weren't...
This pitching staff...
That's my point. Like,
this $240 million team doesn't have enough pitching.
What do you think about Gerrit Cole's performance tonight? How do you feel about that?
I love Gerrit Cole's performance tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, he should have given up two home runs, but I love Gerrit Cole's performance tonight.
Or he should have given up no home runs if that stupid overhang wasn't there.
That's true. What could have been two or zero.
What is that overhang? It's a bullshit overhang. It is a bullshit overhang. And then Gardner goes straight up.
Well, because there's no scoreboard in left field.
I know, but I mean, Aaron Judge got dunked
Toronto
on.
Has
Aaron
the
Judge
same
got
thing.
Freaking Dikembe Mutombo was like standing on top of him, slapping him down. He was underneath it.
Toronto has the same thing.
It's like a 2 foot.
And you know what? The Yankees have the same thing. The wall's just shorter.
Okay, that takes it out of the equation. When it's above Aaron Judge's head, maybe they're not expecting outfielders to be 7 feet
tall.
But yeah. I mean, he definitely had an opportunity at that ball.
Scott, what do you want me to say? Like, Gerrit Cole was everything you want him to be on 3 days rest. He was an animal, like they were talking about and hyping him up in pregame. He had a little bit of command issues early in the game, which we kind of expected.
But
he didn't allow it. He fixed it. He cruised through the second and the third inning. He battled through the fourth inning. He was fired up. They just couldn't score.
Right.
I'm not worried about Gerrit Cole. I'm worried about every other pitcher on this roster. As far as the starters go, they're not good enough. They don't have starters number 2 through 5. And in a playoffs where you have no off days, that is exaggerated.
Right. Yeah. No, there's no doubt.
It's a gigantic problem.
Tampa's roster is made for these no days off series. They really are.
And I know the Yankees have tried to build an elite bullpen. But
I mean, they did, and then they got cocky and thought they could replicate it every single year after they had Andrew Miller in the back with Chapman and who's the other one? Why am I losing my brain here?
Dellen,
yeah, thank you. See, he already died to me. But yeah, they had Phil from the back, and they tried to recreate it. They just kept retrying to create that type of
And I think they got away from, you actually need some starting pitching. You can't just win with a bullpen. You actually need some starting pitching. And hopefully they're moving in that trend with Garcia and Clark Schmidt and obviously Gerrit Cole and Severino will come back and be healthy in Montgomery. I thought Montgomery's start gives you a lot of positivity for Montgomery.
Montgomery's not anybody who's going to, you're going to change your mind about this rotation about though. It's not, he's a four, five, okay. Whatever that is.
But you need them to get through 162 games.
Yeah, for sure. But they still need to continue to develop pitching. They need starting pitching an emphasis.
Oh, so it's like, if Severino didn't get hurt and Paxton didn't get hurt and Tommy Canley didn't get hurt, maybe this team would be okay. Well, this team just gets injured. That's the team that you have. There's a lot of injury guys. So I'm not using that. That's not a get out of jail free card for this team.
Is Severino an injury guy?
No. But this team has injuries. So you can't say injuries like, you just chalk it up to injuries.
No.
But Severino is an injury guy, considering he was injured all of last year.
He
was just been out for two straight years. What are you talking about? He's an injury guy.
Yeah, all right. I was just asking a question. You didn't say that in the beginning. You stumbled on it too. He doesn't feel like an injury guy, but when you think about it, he's an injury.
I just realized he's an injury guy.
Goddamn. Paxton is no doubt injury guy.
He shouldn't come back.
He shouldn't come back, and I'm sorry. I don't want Tanaka back. I like Tanaka. Tanaka has been good his entire time here. I don't want him back. I don't want to see that same thing again. I know what we got here. It's not a winning championship team with Tanaka as a 2-3 in this rotation. 2-3.
He's a 5. He's a 5.
At this point, yeah. I mean, so every day that Tanaka starts, give me Davey Garcia every single time, and I will be much happier because we have a little bit of, progress, some hope there that's going to move forward.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to make this about like a championship window talk because, frankly, that changes year to year. But I think you've really got to question this core of positional players we thought was going to be around for a couple of championships. Like Gary Sanchez lost his starting job this year.
Gary Sanchez is not that guy.
Gary Sanchez lost his starting job this year. Aaron Judge can't stay on the field. Those are two guys you are going to build around.
Right. Gleyber
that's a problem.
I mean, Gary Sanchez, to me, is he would have to do something significant in the offseason to even stay where he is at this point, I think. I don't think he has any value anywhere else, but I do believe he's going to come back, and he's probably going to be...
Well, he's coming back,
he's probably going to be the starting catcher in the beginning of the season, honestly.
Is he going to be catching Cole opening day next year, though? I don't know.
I could see that happening.
You see Gerrit Cole whispering sweet nothings into Kyle Higashioka's ear in the dugout?
I did.
I love you. I love you, Kyle.
No, it's just like do you remember when you stayed up like all night studying film with me 3 nights ago? Like, yeah, Gary would never do that.
Do you remember when we used to trade pogs in eighth grade?
You got to be on the same level with Gary Cole. I'm sorry, Gary was just not there. I don't know how he comes back from it. He's another year older. There's nothing showing that he's going to rebound and be the guy that we thought he was going to be. What's the sign that's going to say that? I don't know what it is. It's not like he was hurt this year. He wasn't.
I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about it long and hard.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be a doozy, I'm sure.
The question is this Yankees team likable?
You guys have counted on restaurants, and now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food that you're craving right to your door. Ordering is extremely easy. You open the DoorDash app, you choose what you want to eat, and the food is delivered right to you safely outside your door, and you can now choose their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. I use it all the time. It's a terrific app, and there's a lot of local restaurants that you can get as well. There are way more than you expect that are included with DoorDash. Bevan and I use this app probably twice a week. So definitely recommend going on and buying it, especially with the code that we're about to give you. Many of the local restaurants are still open for delivery. So you can just use DoorDash, select from their menu, choose the food you want, and they bring it right to you. And it usually happens pretty fast. And you can track the people as they come, which is fun to know, because now you know when your food is coming exactly to the minute. So right now, all of our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fee with their first order of $15 or more. Just download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's code BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. There's also the baseball playoffs going on, maybe you've heard. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use our promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, to get your welcome bonus at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Scott, are you ready to answer the question?
Yeah, I was ready before you took the break.
I wanted to do a big league tease for the ads.
What was the question again? I forget.
Is this Yankees team likable?
Yeah, it's likable. It's a likable team.
I don't know about that.
You just hate everybody.
No, I mean, yeah, but like this team gets injured so much. They're not very sound defensively. They're so incredibly painfully one-dimensional where it's like, did they hit three home runs? Yes. Great. They won. Did they hit less than three home runs? Yes. Shit. They lost. Like, that is what this team has been boiled down to.
Yeah. Look, my feelings on that. I hate that type of baseball. I don't like it. It's not the brand of baseball that I enjoy watching as much. I just don't. It's not fun for anybody, to be honest. Strikeouts and home run. I'm not going to drown this subject about the home run being
non-sexified.
But the game itself, they're so one dimensional that their approach. It's the approach that pisses me off because they don't have the like. I don't think of likable in that sense. I don't know. When you say likable, I don't think of that.
They're annoying to root for because they only win one way.
Okay.
And when I see a game happening in front of me, it's like Luke Voigt's up there swinging out of his shoes, striking out. Gio Urshela is out there swinging out of his shoes, striking out. Giancarlo Stanton is just swinging out of his shoes. Everyone is up there to do the same exact thing. Except for DJ LeMahieu. Yes, they have one out of 25, and he's a beautiful, beautiful person. And if he is not re-signed, I might never watch a Yankees game again.
That's going to be a big deal, man. They need to re-sign him like soon. I don't even want to sit and wait. I don't want to stir about this.
Do you want to? You know how Brian Cashman can spin this fake season, which I think we can all agree now it's a fake season now that the Yankees are out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know how he can spin it tomorrow morning? The Yankees announced that they have re-signed DJ LeMahieu to a 5-year contract. Everyone just forget about what we just watched and get excited for next year.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to do it. That's a good thing to do.
Jason Zillow, if you're listening, go call up Brian Cashman right now and say, we need good PR tomorrow morning. Re-sign DJ LeMahieu.
They need to do that. That is a must happen. So when you say likable, I don't think of like on the field stuff like that. Because they're a likable team. They're one dimensional in the approach, and that is infuriating to me. The approach itself, that means you're not able to adjust to different circumstances within a game, within a situation, no matter who's up the bat. Like you're just a one trick pony, and they know that. Especially the Rays. The Rays know that. And they're able to counteract that one strength with, 80 other strengths that they have to go against.
What do you consider likable? You're talking about like personality, like off the field stuff. Like,
I mean, usually when people say ask somebody about being likable, yes, it's about like literally like the team. Like, what are your feelings about that team? Are they likable? Are they not likable? Yeah, but, they're likable. No, but they're like, likable. There's a couple like, you know, bad actors on the team. Like, I don't think Aroldis Chapman's likable, but I think everybody else practically is.
But we don't know how these guys actually are off the field.
It doesn't matter. That's the persona that they put on. That's the whole point.
When I talk about likable, I mean, do I enjoy watching them? Do I like rooting for them?
All right.
And frankly, they're not fun to root for sometimes.
Well,
has become not fun to root for.
When they're striking out and missing and just laying shitty at bats. I mean, I understand what you're saying. There's a huge frustration there. I'm not going to go as far as say they're not likable, because I think they are. That, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's such a personal, it's not important to winning and losing, obviously. It's such a dumb thing to talk about right now. No, it's not.
I don't think it's a dumb thing to talk about, because we watch this team try and win a World Series every year. So 2017 was gravy. They weren't supposed to be there. That was an underdog fun story. First time the Yankees were actually underdogs in our lives. And then they traded for Giancarlo Stanton. And then it was World Series or bust 2018, 2019.
Again, these are all about expectations. These are expectations.
Yes, it's about expectations. Yeah. Of course it's about expectations.
Okay, so...
do we expect the Yankees to win a World Series? You don't sign Garrett Cole.
Did you expect the largest pitcher contract, did you expect the Yankees to go through the playoffs this year? I didn't.
At the beginning of the year, I did.
Well, at the beginning of the year, of course, you're looking at that. They have the expectations. But when you actually see what starts happening and the product on the field and the fact that they had no pitching, it was pretty damn clear that this team, if they were to get deep into the playoffs, they would have to go on some stupid offensive run. Or just some weird shit would have to happen, because they just didn't have the pitching depth or the pitching talent to get to that.
That's
far.
Why I said zero out of ten confidence.
And that's wild when you think about the fact that they signed Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. We didn't think we were going to have to worry about an opener in the second game of a playoff series after they signed Garrett Cole.
Well, shame on us for not expecting James Paxton to be hurt. Shame on us.
Yeah. And Severino. Injury.
Well, we knew Severino.
We discovered as an injury.
We knew Severino was out.
Not when they signed Garrett Cole.
I'm just saying, no, for the season.
So you're saying, they needed to go on an unbelievable offensive run if they were going to make it to the World Series. So then why were you a 7 out of 10 confidence entering this Rays series? No one goes on an unbelievable offensive run against this Rays pitching staff. They're an elite pitching staff.
Because, you know, a blind faith, I guess. I guess it was dumb. It was dumb. My expectations don't get too high and too low. I try to stay as even keeled as I possibly can. And I'm watching.
7 out of 10 is pretty high.
Yeah, I don't even know what 5 out of 10 is. You know, I mean, you can tell me what it's like down there.
5 out of 10 is middle.
You can tell, yeah, but it's like, that's pretty goddamn low for me. You can tell me what it's like down there. Like, 5 is a basement. Like, I always have a little bit of hope. There's a glimmer of hope in everything. But, Yeah, I thought after watching, to tell you the truth, what happened was that I got popped by the Cleveland.
You got blinded by the homers. But
blinded by the dingers. That's not true. I got blinded by a very short sample of them hitting with runners in scoring position is what I got blinded by. They actually executed during that Cleveland series a little bit. And they hit home runs too, but they were just clicking on it as an offense. And they did not do that. And I know why. They ran into a pitching staff that was complete. And it wasn't just a guy that was, you know, quoted as the greatest pitcher of the last generation after he, you know, dominated the Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers. You come out of that series beating Shane Bieber after all of that hype, and you feel good about yourself. You feel good about the offense. You feel good about it. And they just, after game one, okay, all right, it's staying on. Let's do this. This team, as they said, turned it on. And then it got turned off really fast.
I'm looking through Twitter to see if there's any crazy quotes coming out. Like Garrett Cole is saying it's been really, really difficult season because of COVID, obviously. Aaron Boone said it was, hold on, where's Aaron Boone's quote? It was kind of a...
Okay, it didn't matter at all.
Here's Aaron Boone's quote. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah. Let's talk about Aaron Boone.
He said, "It's awful. The ending is cruel. It really is."
It didn't matter. But I'm looking at this like Mike Ford for Higgy, the pinch hitter. Like, what? Like, what's the point of that?
Scott.
So hold on. You're going to put in Mike Ford, who literally has not done anything since last year. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, last year. That's when he was the good pinch hitter. It was not at all this year. Like, he's been abysmal.
Yeah.
And now you're going to pull Higgy, who is your second catcher. Just start there. Now you have no more catchers. If Gary Hamstring, I just called him Gary Hamstring.
Gary Hamstring.
And I said that absolutely.
Oh, that's such a good t-shirt. Make the Gary Hamstring t-shirt.
I didn't even mean to like say it. It just came out. If Gary's hamstring.
That's the best ideas. They just come out.
If Gary's hamstring goes, because it could, at any second, now you have, who's the emergency?
Greg Bird. Oh, wait, that was
It's not Greg Bird. It's
Tyler Wade?
No, well, I mean, probably. He probably could. Let's be honest.
Is it DJ?
Let's be honest. Tyler Wade could catch. No, I do believe it is an outfielder. It's Talkman.
No, he's a lefty.
I swear I saw that it was Talkman.
It's not Talkman. He's a left-handed thrower. It's not Talkman.
Do you think that the last, like Tom Tupa, the punter, who's the quarterback for the Jets, this is what I... You think that the last guy that can't be a lefty is a catcher?
Yes. I don't think there even exists a lefty catcher's mitt in the Yankees clubhouse. Right. He is not the third catcher.
Okay. I don't know who the third catcher is then. But it's one of those decisions.
Nick Nelson.
It's one of those decisions that you're like, just like, why? What's the point of that? Is that a better at-bat? Like, I know there's a right-handed, you're going for the righty-lefty thing because you love doing that. But is that really a better situation? No, it's just not.
No.
And the fact is that if this does go extra innings, it's a 1-1 game, by the way, you should probably have a catcher just in case shit goes wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just bad management.
So Scott.
But that was just like a microcosm of a useless move, completely pointless, but could have such detrimental effect if this game were to extend.
I have been saying it all year. Aaron Boone is a terrible manager. He is awful. He is the worst in-game manager we have had for the Yankees in our lifetime. He is so inept that it is a joke that he actually got this job. But he got the job because he's supposed to be a good clubhouse guy. And he's supposed to be able to relate to the young guys because he's cool
and
he's hip.
And Gary specifically.
And Gary specifically, who has had just gone downhill since
no structure.
Aaron Boone took over. So as far as a manager in game goes, Aaron Boone is beyond inept.
Do you believe that there's an actual chance that he does not come back?
I would put it very low, 10% chance he doesn't come back, because I think they're going to chalk this up to a weird COVID year, 2020. But he has actually regressed in each of his three seasons as manager.
Yeah, I mean, he was not good this year. It was
if I was running the Yankees, I would not bring him back, because I think Aaron Boone, every time he touches a game, he makes it worse. When the team scores seven runs, he doesn't fuck up the game because he can't. They scored 7, 8, 9 runs. But when it comes down to making decisions that impact the game, he is always wrong. He always does stupid things. He is bad. He is so bad at his job. It is insane.
You could make an argument that because this window is, I mean, it's closing. It is. It's closing with the guys that they have. You know, I don't know who comes up and replenishes along the way within the next 2 years. You know, maybe we get the Martian earlier than we think, and he's like a huge impact player. Who knows?
But he's like 13.
It's fine. He can be a 14-year-old player. It's fine. But you can make the argument that you bring in, you cut ties with Aaron Boone. Cashman stands in front of everybody and says, "I made a mistake," mm-hmm. and brings in a baseball guy. Mm-hmm. And that baseball guy does bring structure and you know, tries and gets as much as they can out of this team and just acts differently.
Yeah.
Now would be a good time for that. After next year,
or the year after that, you're getting almost too late now. So you're either going to, if they do believe this, if they do believe that they could be better somewhere else, now is the time. You can't act like this was a mistake in 2 years.
No, I think Brian Cashman brought in Aaron Boone because he thought he had enough talent on the roster to roll out and just they would win. And that he just needed someone that the players liked playing for and that they were going to go out there and beat everybody because they had the talent. And that's just not what happens. You have to actually have someone that knows what they're doing to put his players in the best position to win. And Aaron Boone repeatedly puts his players in the worst possible position to win. Whether it's bringing in relievers in messy innings or doing stupid pinch hitting opportunities or giving guys days off when they just went 4-for-4 the day before because of load management or trying to not or not putting his foot down for this opener situation. Can you imagine if Brian Cashman and his freaking nerds went to Joe Girardi and said, hey, game two, instead of starting Masahiro Tanaka, we're going to start Devi Garcia for an inning and then bring in Jay Happ. Joe Girardi would have put his foot down. And the reason Joe Girardi got fired is because he would have put his foot down. But you know what? Maybe Joe Girardi's team wins this series.
Well, they still didn't have the talent to win the series, but they shouldn't have.
You get my point.
They could have. I mean, yeah.
You get my point.
I mean, I'm
not saying Joe Girardi should have been kept as manager. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying someone that has a little bit more in-game baseball managing experience needs to be running this team.
I mean, I don't think that it would have made a big difference in this series because even game two, while it was cute and dumb, like Jay Happ very well could have been rocked from the first inning on as well, and that game would have been a loss. Like the fact of the matter is the approach, which is it's deeper than just the manager. It's deeper. It's an analytic approach where they've said, hey, we're going to live with the strikeouts. We're going to live with the fly balls. This is how we're going to win. This is the game plan. And who knows, maybe like bringing in a guy like DJ LeMahieu was like the first sign of them understanding that that's not the way to do it. And they're trying to, you know, they have the ability if they've re-signed him to, you know, add, you know, one to two guys that can shift that a little bit. But
so Scott, think about it. If you're a Yankees player,
I feel like every time you say my name, because you don't, it's like if my wife says my name, I'm like, what did I do? Like when you say it, like it's just like there's a condescending statement coming next.
It's not condescending. So think about it. Put your shoes in one of the Yankees players. After game one, you just beat the best starting pitching staff in baseball in Cleveland by scoring double digit runs. Then what?
The best pitching staff in baseball. They're not the best pitching staff in baseball.
Okay.
We just got beat by the best pitching staff in baseball.
I meant starting pitching staff. Anyway,
debatable.
Whatever. You scored double digit runs off really good pitchers in Cleveland. Then you scored 9 runs off of Tampa's pitching in game one, and you've been on fire. And then your front office, your management says, the only way we're going to win this series, guy, the only way we're going to win 2 of the next 4 games, guys, is to get Tricky Dicky on them. We got to trick these bastards over there because we can't beat them straight up. You don't think that has a psychological effect on a team?
I mean, not that far, no. And no, I think you're going too far with that. I don't think it psychologically affects the offense at all. Not even a little bit. I think these are professional athletes and they should not get affected in a way that their manager or organization plans a game like that. If they're in the lineup and going up against the Tampa pitching staff, who gives a shit what's happening on the other side? It shouldn't matter. They're professional athletes.
It shouldn't. But these guys are humans. I saw you tweet, hey, A-Rod, you actually had a good point. When A-Rod's point was that we always used to say we got to keep the manager out of the game.
Yeah.
Now it's we got to keep the front office out of the game.
He's saying,
what if there's players in the clubhouse saying, what is the front office meddling in our approach?
No, I bet they are saying that, but I don't think that approach that doesn't affect the offensive approach to the game. It just doesn't.
Okay, I mean maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm just grasping at straws. Maybe I'm just
you're frustrated and just trying to look at everything. It's probably what most people are doing, but when you're, I mean, shit. I agreed with A-Rod. You know what I'm saying? Like, A-Rod, that was like one of the first statements. I was like, damn boy, preach. Like, preach that shit. He's right. And maybe, you know, is that the old school approach of like, you just let the guys play baseball? Like a little bit, maybe, but you know what? It doesn't mean it's wrong either. You can look at both sides of the fence. You can look at both sides in the way. And I have an appreciation for, you know, what the analytics bring to the game. But at certain points, it needs to fuck off for real. It needs to go away and let these dudes just get out there and compete. Because that's what they've done their whole lives. But well, here's the other problem.
I think, hold on.
Yeah, the other problem. I hate launch angle. I hate it. I hate launch angle. I hate that it's taught at such a young age now. And I hate that these guys are going up there with that, the percentages in their head saying, okay, if I'm going to be productive over a season, the launch angle is the way to do that. The season stats don't always tell the story. You got to be good in different situations and be able to be a more complete hitter. That's part of the craft and the art of hitting. It's not just barreling up a ball, hitting the piss out of it, and then doing a forearm bash behind home plate every fifth at bat. It's just that's what Adam Dunn used to do, and we used to be like, do we want that on our team? And now everybody's Chris Adam Dunn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know what it is, Scott? It's not likable, like I said 15 minutes ago.
The approach is not likable. It's not the people that aren't likable. That's what it is.
You're splitting hairs.
I'm not splitting hairs.
Yes, you are, because at the end of the day, we're watching these people perform. Their performance is not likable. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is Aaron Judge a good guy? Yeah, sure. Is Mr. Gabagool himself, Luke Voigt, a good guy? Yeah, I'm sure.
He's also likable.
Fun and jovial. His approach isn't likable.
He led the major leagues in home runs and is a guy that like was playing through injury. Likable. Yeah.
And he's also up there in the playoffs trying to swing out of his freaking wife beater.
Well, it's a bad approach. Yeah. Bad approach. I don't like that. I don't like that approach.
Is wife beater even an acceptable term?
I don't think you can say that anymore.
Definitely. Muscled,
I don't think
people
you
know
can
what
say
I'm
that.
Talking about, right? Like an undershirt, like white,
yeah,
like sleeveless
shirt.
That's what
they used
what
to be called.
About.
We're definitely getting emails for that one.
God damn it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what you signed. The first thing you do, like you said.
I don't know.
You
can
signed
we even
DJ LeMay
now.
No, no, no.
Can
you
we,
signed DJ okay, LeMay. Yes, I'm going to do course. It because this is what I have
okay,
to do.
Okay, actually, here's the question.
I have to exercise the demons and figure out. I got to fix the team right now. I got to fix it.
So, are you Scott? Are you bringing back Aaron Boone?
I think the Yankees are going to bring back Aaron Boone.
I also agree with that. I said earlier I would not bring Aaron Boone. Earlier, you said if you're going to change it up, you got to do it now, but you didn't commit one way or another. Scott, you're in charge of the team. Are you bringing back Aaron Boone?
I got to look to see who's available. I haven't really thought about it. But I'm going to look at the situation very hard. If I am the owner of the team and I'm looking at, I feel like at some point you got to start holding your players very much accountable. And if you get rid of the guy at the top and say that it's not acceptable and now you're causing jobs to be lost, I think that's a very, very direct message. And I do believe that this team is they just signed Gerrit Cole for a lot of years, but it doesn't mean that window is, they signed him for the lot of, they're going to pay for a lot of years on the back end, but they understand that the front end is where the value is going to come. If it's within championships, at least with, you know, what they know now, they're not going to be able to do pull a 2016 again and make those trades. That was a once in a generation, like scenario. It seemed like once in a Yankees scenario, really. It never happened before. So I, if they miss this window with these young guys and they, you know, they start treading water and not, and their other teams become better and younger, which that's happening too, then you got a problem. So yeah, I think you have to look really hard, long and hard about this. You can't just stay the course and just like keep a guy 9 to 10 years because that's what you always do. You got to identify what is going on. And to be fair, one of the reasons why they brought him on was for this reason.
It's because he fits the mold of what they want as an organization. He listens and will take a lot more advice or orders or however you want to call it, influence from other people outside the dugout. And I know a lot of managers who are baseball guys would not do that or would not agree to do that.
Yeah, it's also an urgency thing. And I think Aaron Boone, rightfully so, in regular seasons, doesn't have much urgency at times. And now if we're going to have 8 out of 15 teams making the playoffs, you really don't need a ton of urgency. But I think that's a hard switch to flip.
Let me tell you what they need to do. Worst case scenario. I'm not saying worst case scenario. That's dramatic. If Aaron Boone comes back, they need to go out and get different coaches. They need to get some managerial experience back in that dugout. Because
they just signed a new pitching coach.
I don't give a shit. Blake. Bye. I don't care about that at all.
I thought he was the keys to beating Shane Bieber.
Yeah, he was. Great. He got us a win. I think there was influence in that win. I do. But he didn't help us with Tampa. Maybe we go to Tampa and steal their pitching coach. But
no, I cannot watch that guy jog to the mound a thousand times.
Someone deeper in the organization. But my point is, as much as we didn't like Larry Rothschild, there was a managerial voice, another person talking a contrarian opinion if need be. And I think that's really important to have. I think you should have someone who doesn't agree with you fundamentally on the way that play baseball. Because if you don't have someone who's going to challenge you on a decision by decision basis, you know, whether it's in game, after game, just having just good conversations about a particular topic where there's a heated disagreement, that is needed for growth and needed for, you know, pushing yourself outside the envelope and thinking outside of the realm that's been entrenched in your brain. Like, that's how you grow as a baseball guy. So I do believe experience in baseball and managing is important. I don't think that he needs it necessarily, but if it's in the dugout and there's counsel there, I think that is almost a necessity.
So you're saying that a yes man, having yes men around you is a bad thing. And I agree with that.
In every walk of life.
But do you know what I think we're not realizing is? Aaron Boone is the yes man. He's the yes man to Brian Cashman.
I acknowledge. I said that's part of the boat where you look at, that's not Aaron Boone's fault, because he was placed there because of that.
He was brought in to be the yes man.
A reason he was there. One of the reasons he's there. Yeah, so likable guy.
So maybe Aaron Boone gets fired and he's taking the fall for it. But do you have to look at Brian Cashman and say, hey, dude, you can't just surround yourself with yes men.
Yeah, it's not even Cashman. It's Cashman's. It's who he's hired under.
Cashman is the general manager. He is. I think he's team president. He's not team president. He's something else too, right?
Operations. No, he's not operations.
He's in charge. Okay, Brian. This is Brian Cashman's team.
It's Hal Steinbrenner's team. No, I mean, I think Hal Steinbrenner's making decisions behind the scenes. Is what I'm saying.
Hal Steinbrenner's not making baseball decisions.
No, he's not making baseball decisions, but I think he has people in there that he has placed in there. Hold on. I don't even know why I'm going down this conspiracy road. I don't think that's the case. I think that they have a systematic they've said they are going all in on analytics. And I think that there's a team of people making these decisions based on numbers. And that's a problem. That's the problem. You need to use it as a supplement and as a tactic that goes alongside the other baseball things, but they're relying on it too much. They're relying on it too much and they're leaning on it. And that's where the problem is.
The team that just beat you, Tampa,
but they're also years ahead of you in the commitment to the analytics. Like the Yankees, they cleaned house last year.
And you know what? They have a baseball guy in Kevin Cash to implement it.
Yeah. It's not like you can have the same approach as another team, but one team just picks better talent and executes better than you. Like that happens all the time. So just because they have the same approach doesn't mean, I think the way that the Yankees are doing it is is too far. And if it's, I don't even think it's the right way. Like their approach to analytics also had to their, the way that they came out of that starting what 4 years ago is load the bullpen, like priority number one.
Who are you rooting for in the ALCS, or do you not care?
In the ALCS? No, I'm rooting for the Rays.
Me too.
And I'm not rooting for I'm rooting for the Astros to lose.
I don't hate the Rays. I kind of respect the Rays.
I don't have a problem with the Rays, honestly.
You may dislike the Rays because they're cocky, but they beat you straight up. And if you beat me straight up, I can respect that.
Senior vice president and general manager.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying? Like the Rays just beat you. They just beat you. And if we find out they were cheating in 6 months from now, maybe I'll change my opinion. But as of now, we just think the Rays just beat you.
Not everybody's cheating.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The Astros cheated you. So that is hateable. What the Rays did to you, you might not like it, but I think you got to tip your cap to it. Unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I agree. They're a good team. Good teams beat other teams all the time. Like it happens. You don't have to hate them just because they beat you. They are a good team. And they have some players on there that, you know, are not likable in moments, but not that many of them. I don't think I like Kiermaier. I think he bothers me.
Okay, but
that's it.
Yeah, it's not like the Astros who have a squad full of them. And hey, the Astros have some stones. They got to the final.
You know what's
they got to
you
the
know
final four once again.
Well, you know what,
couldn't.
You know what's pissing me off about this whole Astros thing now is that the Astros have flipped it. The Astros are now using all of this as fuel. And it's working.
Yep.
And that's pissing me off.
Yeah, it should piss you off. But
so it's the fact
they're not a soft team.
But the fact that
the Astros
working,
are not a soft team, the Rays are not a soft team, the Yankees are a soft team.
Yeah,
soft like puppy poo. We talked about it in the season with the Tampa and going up against Tampa, and Aaron Boone saying, Kevin Cash made some really really scary comments. I really don't like those comments that Kevin Cash made. Soft bitch. I don't want a soft bitch managing my team.
He's an ESPN commentator.
Oh man, I didn't think I was going to be this upset about a fake season.
I think it's just that you're listening and you're thinking about Aaron Boone's taking Higgy out for Mike Ford. I mean, just the most worthless, unneeded switch right there.
And like, why not just let Gary hit? If you're going to pinch hit, why not let Gary hit? Maybe he gets lucky. Maybe he strikes lightning in a bottle, and the 1% of the time he hits a home run, he hits a home run. Clint Frazier. How about Clint Frazier? Pinch hit Clint Frazier.
Those are not righty-lefty matchups. That's the reason was made.
So the chip in his brain buzzed, righty-lefty matchup.
Yep, I have a lefty on the bench. Mike Ford hit a bunch of home runs last year as a pinch hitter. Not this year, but
how about Mike Talkman?
But last year,
he's a lefty.
Did Mike Talkman play in this series at all in the playoffs?
Did not play in the playoffs.
Damn, fall from grace right there.
I mean, he was terrible all year.
He was bad. Adam Ottavino pitched once.
Yeah, gave up a run.
Walked a guy. Guy stole. Gave up a run.
You know, I'm curious. Like I've been crushing Boone. I'm curious if people agree with me. Let me know.
I mean, you're not going to get that many people to disagree with you right now. The timing for you asking that is pretty much in your favor.
No,
but yes,
people might complain about Boone, but they might not want him fired. They might not think he's soft. Like I've said some things where it's like, I think this team is soft. I don't think Aaron Boone's the right person to be leading this team. All those things.
But do you? I mean,
I wonder
when
if
when I
want to
make
that.
A when I make a pitching or when I make a coaching change, it's got to be a manager change. It's got to be so bad that I don't. It doesn't matter as much who comes in. I mean, I'm not saying that correctly. It's got to be so bad, like for that guy to go, that I don't care who comes in, and I don't think I'm there.
Oh,
I'm not
well,
there.
That's not why.
What?
Why? You can identify a good candidate and say he's better than this person.
But you can't right now. But my point, you don't have anybody in mind. Like, there's nobody that sticks out. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just like somebody, another good candidate, like whoever. What's his face? Is going to be a couple guys coming off suspension.
I do not envision
what if Cora came
Alex Cora.
What if Cora? Alex Cora. Holy shit! Could you imagine that?
He's going back to the Red Sox.
Not if he's offered the Yankees job.
I cannot envision Aaron Boone leading the Yankees to a World Series. I think there's too many opportunities, especially now that there's four rounds in the playoffs, 3-game wild card, 5-game ALDS, 7-game ALCS, 7-game World Series. He will do something to screw it up. He will not get through an entire playoff run unscathed. He's not capable. So he is not capable.
Do you think that he made mistakes tonight in the pitching? Because I thought the pitching was probably one of the harder things to manage tonight.
He should have let Britton pitch to Lau in the seventh inning. He should not have brought Aroldis Chapman in to have to sit in between two innings. That means Chapman would have had to do two inning breaks instead of one.
Well, he was warming
that
up.
That was a mistake.
Well, no, because he was warming up anyway. He was very hot. He had to get ready to warm up, so he was going to sit in the bullpen anyway.
That's different than coming into the game. We already calculated the B.
I know, but he only threw like three pitches, bro.
Bro?
Yeah. I'm trying to be condescending back in a different way. Look, he only threw, what you're saying is not making sense in this instance because he had warmed up to a point where he was ready to come in.
Well, so, he shouldn't have been. Well, Britton was not in trouble. It was a lefty matchup.
I was surprised that Britton came back out, honestly, in the second inning because he did not look good in the first inning.
No, but they needed one guy on first base.
Dude, you can't be hating the fact that he was warming up in case Britton gets in a little trouble
I'm not hating that he was warming up, but I still think that because Britton only had a runner on first base, there was no one in scoring position.
I agree.
He was two outs.
Yes, I agree.
It was a runner on first. Britton doesn't give up extra base hits. He's a ground ball pitcher. So they were going to have to get two more hits to score that guy from first base.
Right. I know.
It wasn't going to happen.
He was not the first inning. He was not around the zone. He was having command issues. He buckled that down in the second inning. I agree with you. I think he should have stayed with it. I don't think that made a difference. I think that you could go either way.
You said Chapman didn't pitch bad. He gave up a home run and a long at-bat.
He did the job in the seventh, got out of that inning fast against a good hitter who he had success with in the past. I don't hate that move. I didn't like it when I first saw it. And then I saw the numbers and then it was fine. Like I was like, eh, it didn't matter to me as much. But it was.
Do you think with Gerrit Cole, when he brought him back out to face Arozarena, Do you think that him hitting it technically out of the park and Gardner robbing it caused him to be taken out of the game?
Yes.
If he had struck Arozarena out or he got him to pop up to shortstop, do you think he'd get left in that game?
I think the fact that Choi was up next was the real reason. He saw that ball fly practically out of the park, and then Choi was due up next. He got pinch hit for because the change happened, but Choi was up next, so that's the reason. I think he was always coming out. I think he was only in there to pitch to Ricearoni.
Okay.
Right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Team
the
Choi.
Way you explain that makes Kryptonite. Sense. Kryptonite, even though we got him to ground out twice.
Yeah, but still batting 700. On this career.
Do you want to live or die with your best pitcher, though?
Yeah, but again, you're bringing in someone you trust. Also, I don't think he did a bad job managing the pitching. I thought it was not ideal to bring in Chapman when he did, but at that time you had to keep matching. You had to match Tampa, and you had to keep going.
Tonight, the pitching things that Boone did were fine.
He could have brought Green. He could have brought Green in. Instead of
Green was going to be available with the back-to-back two innings.
He said he was available, said he felt great.
But again, that just boils down to you have four pitchers on this roster. That kind of handcuffs Boone right there. But I think Boone has done some stupid things this postseason. I think they were lucky to win game two in Cleveland. I outlined all the things he did wrong there. I thought that the entire debacle in game two,
you're not putting that on him. I think it's more on him. I think it's less.
Ultimately, it comes down to Boone, though, because Boone is the one actually making the decision. So if Boone strongly disagreed with it and didn't want to be a yes man, he could have gone against it.
Maybe.
And I think it's a problem that if you approach J-Hap and you tell him a plan and he outwardly disagrees with the plan, maybe change the plan. because you're still, again, I've said this, you're putting humans in situations. You got to read, people. That's what you're there for, to know.
You also have to understand that you're making the decision, and the person who's getting paid to do a job should do the job, and when they're being called.
Should, but he's been a baby bitch all year.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I have a hard time saying that that's on Boone. Like the dynamic that...
Why'd they go to...
I mean the dynamic that Hap didn't like.
Why was it Jay Hap, though, as the Rays call him, the bulk guy in game two? Why wasn't it Jordan Montgomery? We saw Jordan Montgomery pitch great.
Well, because he hadn't pitched great yet, and he did walk three guys, could have been in trouble, but he had more faith in Happ. Pitched more all season. He pitched better in the down the stretch. There was more faith there. That's not a difficult decision. Happ and Montgomery, like, really? Who gives a shit? Doesn't matter.
All right.
Doesn't matter.
We've done an hour, and I'm just sick of talking about this unlikable team.
Are we doing a Monday show?
No. We will do a show when the Yankees have that end of season press conference. I don't know when it's going to be. There's probably not going to be much to talk about. I can't imagine they'll do it on Sunday. I bet that press conference happens on Monday. So we'll probably do an episode after that.
Yeah.
There's usually some good nuggets that come out of that.
There are usually good nuggets. Maybe Aaron Boone doesn't live another day. He's gonna. You know he's coming back, right?
Yes, I do know he's coming back. If Aaron Boone gets fired,
do you agree with what I'm saying about the coaching staff?
I mean, that really only leaves a bench coach as the who is the bench coach? It's not.
Yeah, it's one of the guys that's been in the organization for a minute. I'll tell you in a second. I can see his face. I can't think of his name right now. Carlos Mendoza.
Yeah. He's kind of a baseball guy.
Yeah.
Didn't he manage the Thunder? So, I mean,
maybe we should bring in Mike Harkey into the dugout.
I understand the sentiment that you're saying. Like, you need someone to be contrarian to the Boone yes man from the front office. You need someone to say, "Hey, what about this? Have you thought about this? Let's do this." Maybe Carlos Mendoza is not capable of that. I don't know. I don't know anything about Carlos Mendoza. But I think he's a baseball guy. And Matt Blake was brought in to be the pitching nerd. I don't think you're changing him. And Marcus Thames and PJ Pillitteri are the hitting coaches. A hitting coach can't make a decision. He's there to pump up the hitters. Maybe the hitting coach needs to be changed.
Pump up the hitters. Maybe. Do you think that the approach of these guys is gonna change now? This
no, because these are the players that they have. These are the players they've identified to fill their roster with. Should they go out and identify new players and different approaches? Yes, because they're way too one dimensional. And when you go up a team like Tampa against a team like Tampa that neutralizes that one dimension.
You know,
you lose.
You know who I think could actually change the makeup of this team more significantly than anybody? It's Clint Frazier. I think Clint Frazier has the ability to be coached into he's not a launch angle guy. I don't know what his numbers are. Maybe his numbers, like, you know,
he strikes out a decent amount,
but he also has the ability to make a ton of contact. The bat speed, though, he shortened up his swing a little bit. Like, he's got, I feel like he's got the tools to, he's got the ability to hit the ball. And he showed up this year where he's hitting the ball opposite field often. Like, it was significantly, I thought his approach was a lot better this year. And I think as he's maturing as a player, he's got he shows the ability to be a guy that can progress as far as a hitter.
So
I think he can become more of a complete hitter.
The stats you brought up from Jared Diamond last night on the podcast, where you said about the strikeouts and the teams that strike out more usually lose in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Over the course of a season, the Yankees are going to hit enough home runs to win enough regular season games to make it to the playoffs. I'm not denying that. But when you boil it down to short series,
yeah, we know you're facing better pitchers too, right? You have to make more contact. How about that?
So then is the question. Do we change some of our guys' approach, or do we get new guys?
Well, I don't think it's that easy to change the approach. Like, I think Clint Frazier is like some tweaks away. I think he's.
What about like Gio Urshela?
Like Gio Urshela, I think, is a guy that can cut down his strikeouts. Yeah, I do.
But if Gio Urshela cuts down on his strikeouts, just tries to make more contact, does he turn back into the Cleveland Gio Urshela
possibly
that was let go because all he was a glove guy that couldn't hit for shit?
Yeah, that's possible too. I mean, I guess you really won't know until you. You know, tweak some things, but I do believe you have to look at other players as well. I don't know where.
Because like they've got Judge for two more years of arbitration. They've got Hicks signed for 6 years.
The catching position. Go get a Molina, and they'll hit a bunch of singles.
You can't get rid of Higgy because Gerrit Cole won't be able to pitch.
That's fine. He's still a backup. He's still a backup catcher.
I don't know. I feel like Higgy has wormed his way into.
He feels like a Francisco Cervelli to me.
Like Francisco Cervelli was a better hitter.
Cervelli was a fireball. I'd take like peak Cervelli all day long.
He did steroids. Maybe Higgy should do steroids.
Maybe Gary should do steroids. Maybe that's Gary's last hope. Maybe Gary was doing steroids.
All right. Anything else you want to say?
Sign DJ LeMahieu. That press conference better also be a DJ LeMahieu lifetime. He better hold that goddamn sign up too, like Gerrit Cole did.
How the Yankees can spin all this? Just make it a DJ LeMahieu signing press conference, and we'll all be happy.
I'm dead serious. I will be more angry at this organization than I think I may have ever been. If they don't sign DJ LeMahieu back, he's that important.
Well, is it like, what if a team offers him 6 years?
Then you give him eight and you say, thank you.
Okay.
I'm dead serious. I don't care I don't care how many years are we eating of Jacoby Ellsbury and freaking A-Rod.
Gone. This was his last year.
And who gives a shit? Give DJ LeMahieu a 10-year deal. I don't care. It's not going to be for the same dollars. Who cares? Just sign him. And he plays as long as he wants to play. Lifetime. It's like if you win the Masters, you can go back and play the Masters whenever you want.
He's going to
for
be
as
the
long
Freddie
as
Couples.
You want.
He's going to be the free. He's going to play in old timers day yes. and in the game that day.
He has an open invitation to do whatever he wants. I might even make DJ LeMahieu the goddamn bench coach next year.
You know what? DJ LeMahieu would not have started an opener in game 2.
I'm serious. If they do not re-sign him, it goes down as one of the worst decisions this franchise has ever made.
What do you think is a better chance of happening? DJ LeMahieu not getting re-signed or Aaron Boone not getting re-signed?
A better chance of happening?
Yep.
Oh. It's really, really, really freaking stupid, but I think it's DJ. Because I think the Yankees are so set in their ways. About
they have a number in mind with DJ. And if it's more...
No, it's not even that. I think it's more about keeping the manager longer. I think they don't like firing guys. They haven't done it in a while.
Can you imagine if this offseason is don't sign LeMahieu, bring back Boone, bring back Tanaka.
Bringing back Boone is not anything to me. I feel like Boone's here and not leaving.
But if it's like you don't change anything on the team except you don't sign LeMahieu, people are going to be so pissed.
Except don't sign LeMahieu. Yeah.
Like you're just keeping the same team, same manager, same coaching staff, except LeMahieu's gone. Like, what are we doing now? Who's going to be the second baseman? Tyler Wade?
I'm not here for that. I'm not going to fall for that trap. Tyler Wade
is the best Estrada
bench player. No, you got to sign LeMahieu. That's it. Like that. If anything else happens this year from the Yankees, if they say one word, if it's not extension, I don't want to hear it.
Well, it's no longer an extension.
Whatever.
It's just a new contract.
Still, you're extending that contract.
He said before yesterday's game, he has not talked to the Yankees about.
Of course, he hasn't.
Contract.
Why would he do that? He's focused on baseball. He's doing the right
things. His agent has.
He probably told his fucking agent to stop talking. Like, don't talk to anybody. I don't want to hear anything. Nothing. I am focused on baseball. It makes me like him even more. Everything about him is likable. Everything.
All right. Anything else? Can we end this?
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're not done. Obviously, we do episodes every off season. All off season. But definitely thank you for listening through this bizarro world season, this playoff run. Scott and I bust our ass to put out a good show every week, every game, after every playoff game. So we appreciate you guys listening. All the mailbag questions have been awesome. You guys following us on social media, everyone who will DM us saying thank you for putting out the show, or I enjoyed this episode, or whatever it is, means a lot. And hopefully next year is going to be more normal. We can go back to the stadium. We can have events. We can hang out, have a couple beers at Billy's, talk some baseball. But just wanted to say thank you. Scott, I know you probably feel the same way.
Yep, I echo the sentiments. Really do appreciate everybody. We do this because we like it. We do it because it's fun, usually. we do it because, for better or for worse, we have a passionate... we love this team. We love everything about that, you know, what the Yankees have been, and they're frustrating as all hell and sometimes, but at the same time, there's always next year, and they're, unless they don't sign DJ LeMahieu, then we got big fucking problems. We got big problems. No, but we really do appreciate everybody for listening. Thank you so much. It has been this. I feel like, you know, doing the show every week while the baseball has been weird, at least we've had this consistency, and you know, we're approaching 500 episodes, which is crazy. That's a lot of episodes. And you know, those are all like hour long episodes too. Hour plus usually. I mean, we've rambled here for an hour plus after a game.
Yeah, I think it probably averages out to about 500 hours when you figure.
We've done way more than playoff episodes. There are plenty of episodes that are in our feed that have not been numbered, so we're well over 500 by now. But in numbers, we're not there yet as far as the way that they count them. Anyway, yes, thank you again, guys. Appreciate you. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll talk to you real soon. We got events planned for next year, just so you know. I've been talking to people. I've been reserving things. Spring training's back on if we're allowed in the building. I got the whole goddamn bullpen club rented out again. Let's go.
Perfect. Yeah, so we'll have our next episode a day or so after the Yankees have that end of year press conference. We'll be talking to you then.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.